The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Mishpotim. In Parshas Mishpotim, the Torah deals with perhaps the most mitzvahs, which are referred to as dinim. These are mitzvahs bein odom lechaveiro, lodun bein ish lereihu, to judge between man and his fellow man in disputes or all types of interactions between ish lechaveiro. And this is perhaps the major source in the Torah, even though there are many of these mitzvahs which are dealt with in other parts of the Torah. The Parshas Mishpatim is perhaps the major source of the Torah for this. Le'nivra Adam Ele Letzapsa, what it tells us is that man was created not to be alone, but to live together with a society. And therefore the Torah instructs us on how we must live together with other people. That everyone was given his own tchum, everyone was given his own place, his own rights, his own possessions, and another person is not allowed to be nichnas l'seif tume shel chaveiro, to go into what belongs to another person and to take away any of his rights. Now usually when it comes to these laws in the world at large, this is something which is specialized in, studied by lawyers, attorneys, judges, and so forth. But the common man is not held responsible to know these laws. In the world of the Torah, it's quite the opposite. The common man was commanded in all of these many laws not only to keep them, but to know them. And not only to know them, but to constantly study them. And over and over. The Gemara tells us that these are the most intricate laws of any section of the Torah. If someone wants to come to the highest level of wisdom, he must occupy himself with these laws, with laws which deal with monetary issues between man and his fellow man. And they are so intricate that they probably occupy more space in the Talmud and in the Shulchan Aruch than any other facet. And this is what is known as Nezikin, Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, Shvuah Sanhedrin, Makis, and so forth. And this is what is known as Cheshen Mishpat in the Shulchan Aruch, which is the largest section of the Shulchan Aruch. And in Torah communities of the past, for example, Lithuania, where so many Jews come from here, these laws were studied over and over in all of the yeshivas in order that a person should constantly be cognizant and aware of them and to know them. This evening I would like to go into a few examples of these laws. In the short time that we have, we cannot go into too much, because this is a life's work. A man was commanded to learn Torah all of his life, by day and by night. And if this is from the most intricate part of Torah, then one can imagine what it is. But to give us a few examples, firstly, Yavar Heichan Advorim Agim, of just how far the Torah placed responsibility on man, that he lives in a society with other people, and therefore he has to conduct himself accordingly in order not to infringe on the rights of others. And he has to assume responsibility for all of his acts. And secondly, that we can see the difference between what the Torah considers the proper way of life and the type of world life that we have today. I'll mention some of the mitzvahs which deal with this subject. The majority of them are found in our parsha, but some of them are written in other parshas, or they continued in other parshas. Firstly, let's speak a little about Odeh B'Mazik. Odeh B'Mazik is when man himself damages. There are two categories: Odeh D'Odeh, Odeh D'Azik Odeh, and Odeh D'Azik Mamon. If man damages other people, or if man damages other property of which he's responsible for. The principle, the Gemara tells us, is because Shmiras Gufei Alov. Man is responsible to guard himself that he does not cause a damage to other people or to other property. We have a very important principle. The Gemara brings the mission of Odeh Mu'ad Laylam. Bein B'Shegig, Bein B'Mezid. Man is always responsible, must assume responsibility for his actions. Whether he damages with intent or whether he damages without intent. Bein B'Einus, whether he damages accidentally. Many times we hear that a person breaks something and he says, "Excuse me, I didn't mean to." In the Torah, this is not acceptable. You might not have meant to, but nevertheless you've damaged another person's property and you must pay for it, whether you meant or not. Many times we hear, "Oh, it was an accident." This also is not acceptable in the Torah. The Mishnah says, "Bein b'shegeg, bein b'mezid, bein b'rotzein, bein b'ones." Whether he had intent, whether he didn't, whether he was accidental. The fact is, Beinor ben Yoshin, Gemara brings even cases where he damages in his sleep. Man must assume responsibility for his actions. There are some cases when perhaps he can become free of the responsibility, but these are isolated cases that the Gemara goes into. But the all-encompassing principle, the general principle is that man is always responsible for his actions when it comes to Nezikin, when we're not speaking of these rare exceptions. Now, this is an Aveira. It's not only a question, it's twofold. Firstly, it's an Aveira. It's a transgression. If you damage another person, or if you damage someone else's property, it's an Aveira. It's a Leisase, it's a transgression in the Torah. It's the same as eating something which is not kosher. That's from one aspect. From a second aspect, it's chai b'tashlumin. Not only is it an aveira, but you must pay for it. You must pay the man for his loss. Therefore, two undertakings are required from you. Because you did an aveira, you would have to do tshuva. You would have to repent from it. And secondly, you would have to reimburse the other person for his loss. One without the other would not be satisfactory. If you repent but you do not pay him, it's not a tshuva. Kodesh Baruch Hu does not accept this. If you pay him and do not repent, also it's not sufficient. The Rambam brings this in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva writes, if someone strikes his fellow man and injures him, or amazik memeinai, or if someone damages your fellow man's property, even though he pays for the damages, he does not have kapora, he does not have atonement, until he'll do vidui, until he will admit his sin and he'll do tshuva from it. So we see that it carries two consequences. Also, Firstly, because it's an Aveda, you certainly have a right to prevent another person from damaging you. He cannot say, listen, I have a right to damage you and I'll pay you for it. I have a right to bang into your car or break your window or your dishes, and as long as I pay, it's sufficient. You have a right, according to law, to enforce an enforceable law to prevent him from doing this, because it's an avera. Secondly, many times the damages, what he does to you, will not incur a loss. It'll be a type of damage that, let's say, it'll be a nuisance element. It'll be a nuisance, but will not incur a loss. So then, many times, you cannot force him to pay. But you can still prevent him through the courts from damaging you. For example, if someone is making noise outside your window, it prevents you from sleeping. Or if someone has a factory next door to you, and he has a furnace, and the furnace gives off smoke, not to the point where it's not more than a nuisance element. Sometimes it'll be an actual injury, but if it's not, or an odor, he'll have certain factory where he's working with rubber or leather, and it'll give off a bad odor. Not all the time can you sue for damages, because then might not be damages, but you still have a right to stop him. And these are enforceable by the laws of the Torah. Also, since we see that part of the responsibility is to reimburse the man for his loss, to replenish what was taken away from him in cases of loss, then the person is not potter, he's not free of this responsibility until actually does it. And this would mean that unless the other person waives it totally, with a full heart, you are still obligated. If you come into someone's house and you accidentally damage something of his, or you use a person's book and you damage it, you cannot just assume that you don't have to pay him for it. Unless he will waive it completely with a full heart, you're obligated. And you are never free from your obligation until it's paid for. We'll go into this a little more. Torah tells us that when man will damage another man and injure him, then he is obligated in hay devorim. He's obligated in five accounts. Nezik, tsar, ripui, shevis, ubeishis. He has to pay for the injury. That means that if he caused that man a loss of actual value, if before he was a person with two good arms and now he has a broken arm. So we have to assess what loss of actual value that was to the man, and that's injury. Tsar, he has to pay him for the pain which he endured. Ripui, he has to pay him for all medical and doctor expenses. Shevis, he has to pay him for any unemployment which occurred during his time of convalescence. Boshes, if it caused an embarrassment to him, then he would have to pay. So on five accounts, he is chayev, he might be liable. Now here we see how ad hechen advarim magim, just how much the Torah held you responsible for an injury which you inflicted on another man. Let's go into this one by one. Nezik,
if you cause an injury to a person. Now, actually, if you cause an injury to a person, there's a particular leishaseh, a particular negative commandment, which is called a chayvul b'chaveire, which means that you cannot injure another man. Actually, we learned it out from the Shliach Bezdin. If someone did an aveira, he was warned for it, and he did something he wasn't supposed to do, and the Torah punishment was lashes. So he gets a certain amount of lashes. So the Torah tells him, the Torah states that when you give that person that certain amount of lashes, you're not allowed to give him any more. And if you do, then you have transgressed an aveira. If you add it, then you have transgressed an aveira. And the Gemara says, now this is someone who was deserving of lashes, so how much more so on someone who wasn't? And the actually, when it comes to a chevel, when it comes to injuring, the Rambam brings in Perikei, also l'odim lachbel, a person is not allowed to injure, to cause a wound to anyone else, bein bi'atzmo, bein b'chaveri, not only in someone else, but even in himself. V'la'achevel b'lvad, ela kol ha'maka odim koshim Yisrael, bein kotten, bein godel, bein ish, bein isha, derech nitzus, ha'reze, eva b'leishase. Whoever strikes another man, if he's an upright Jew in Israel, and he says bein kotten, bein godel, whether he's a child or whether he's an adult, whether he's a man or a woman, if he strikes another person to hurt him, then he transgresses a negative commandment. As it states from what the source we just quoted. If the Torah had prohibited that you're not allowed to give an extra lash to someone who is guilty and deserving, then how much more so to the innocent? Now, it's interesting to note here, firstly, you're not allowed to cause a wound at all. Actually, an operation where we cause a wound would be prohibited, except it comes not to injure the person, but it comes to protect the person, right? It comes to better him. That is the only justification for surgery. Otherwise, you are causing a wound in an individual. So if the wound is made for his benefit, then it's permitted. But if not, it's prohibited. An interesting note here is there was a question involved on a bris milah, that when you make a bris milah, so we're causing a wound. So the Torah permitted us. Torah commanded that we must make a bris milah, we must make a circumcision, even though we cause a wound. There are cases at times when what is known as hatofes da bris, where we take out a drop of blood. Yeah, we'll give an example. Let's say an example that the baby is born circumcised. There are such cases. So in such a case, we just take out a drop of blood. There was once a question, where it wasn't clear whether it was incumbent upon us to do this or not, and they wanted to say, well, we'll do it at any rate to make sure that we fulfill the mitzvah. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zichlein Vrocha, writes in a tshuva that he says, you can't do that. Can't just do it anyway in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Because if you're not obligated to do so, then you would transgress a negative commandment of achevel b'chaveiroi, of injuring a child. Because to take out a drop of blood is what is known as a wound. So therefore you must have a definite justification for it. Even to take blood tests. Today, right, left, and center, people take blood tests, and babies also. There must be a proper medical justification for it. Because if not, it's a transgression of the Torah, leisase, a negative commandment and a very severe one. The Rambam mentions here that if you strike someone to hurt him, Ben Cotton, even a child. Moshe Feinstein writes that if you hit your child, and it's not for the purpose of chinuch, not for the purpose of disciplining the child, of educating him, but you hit him because of anger, you transgress a negative commandment. This is leisachbal, that you're not allowed to injure, you're not allowed to strike someone. The Rambam brings to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, afilu lahadbiya yodei al chaveri osur. Even to lift a hand to strike someone, you're not allowed to. V'chol amagbi yod al chaveri afa pishalei ko arei ze rosho. And whoever lifts a hand to strike someone, even though he doesn't strike him, he's a rosho. He is called a rosho, a wicked person. The source for this is by Moshe Rabbeinu. That when Moshe Rabbeinu came and he saw two Jews, they were fighting, and one was lifting his hand against the other, he said, Rosho lamasake es reyecho. Rosho, why are you striking your fellow man? Today we live in a tremendous world of violence. We see violence all around us, in the streets, in the movies, and in the televisions, magazines, and newspapers, all around us. It's a way of life. This is very, very far from the Torah way of life, where even to raise a hand against a person is a rosh. And a rosh is a very serious term in the eyes of the Torah. To cause an injury is a negative commandment. To take one drop of blood from a person is a severe negative commandment. I once was speaking to a person who was involved with the government. He was an attorney general, and he told me he was very busy, and I asked him, what are you so busy with? He says, oh, we have a lot of problems today. He says, one of the main problems is child beating. It's a very serious problem in South Africa and all over the world, child beating. So this is in regards to nezik, causing an injury to another man. It's very important with children also, that the children today are under the influence of all of this violence, and it's very important that they're taught that violence is nothing to play with. This is why we live in a world of bloodshed, and they must be taught the laws of the Torah on this, the attitude of the Torah. Then we have, for example, tzar. It says that you must pay also for any pain that he endured. Besides the injury, you must reimburse him for the pain. The Gemara brings tzar shelebud mokum nezik is also chayev. What happens if you don't injure a person, but you just cause him physical pain? But there is no actual injury, there's no actual loss, but just physical pain. You also have to pay. Tzar shelebud mokum nezik. You also chayev. I was quoted not long ago in the yeshiva, an interesting shuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein, where there was a kollel, a group of young men learning, and some were smokers and the others were not. And those that were smoking wanted to smoke in the room, and the others didn't like it, especially that they were sitting in a room, the ventilation wasn't that good, and they were sitting there all day, and they said, well, if you breathe in all of that smoke during the course of the day, it's very uncomfortable and it could be injurious. And the others didn't want to, because if they would have to go out every time to take a cigarette, it would cause bittul Torah, it would cost them time from their Torah study. So it became a dispute, and they brought the question to the Moshe Feinstein. See, he answered, he says that it's no question. These are Gemoras and Baba Kama. They're mazikin. This is a mazik. This is a damager. He says, besides the fact that it's a nezik gomor, it's injurious, because today the medical reports are that if you sit for long periods of time and you're breathing in smoke, even though you're not smoking, but you're breathing in smoke from other people. There's all kind of medical reports today. What this does to a person's chest and lungs and heart and everything else. So it could be, it's a serious injury. But besides that, he said, even if there would be no injury involved whatsoever, even if it would not be injurious at all, but nevertheless, you are causing tsar. You are causing physical pain and discomfort to another person. And you are causing it. Because you blow, you exhale, you blow the smoke. That's keihei. That's coming from your own motivation, your own power. You're blowing smoke at someone else. So you are causing him tsar de gufei, physical pain. He says, not only can he prevent you from doing that, but if today we had our bote dinim, if today we had our, we were under the jurisdictions of our courts, he could take you to court and you would have to pay for that tsar. Not only could, can he prevent you, but he would have to pay. This what you say, that it's bitul Torah, that you'll lose time from learning Torah. Losing time from learning Torah does not give you the right to damage other people. Any mitzvah doesn't give you the right to damage other people. Mitzvahs have to be done on your own time and on your own property, not where you harm other people with your mitzvahs. So he told them there's no question here involved. They for certain have a right to prevent the others. So this gives us a little insight that when we're speaking of damages here, we're not necessarily speaking about muggers. We're speaking any time you cause physical pain to someone else, that's a damage. And this is one aspect, this is one example of it. Shevis. The law is if during this time that he was injured, during this time of convalescence, he lost time from work, then you must reimburse him. Now from here we can go a step further. This was only indirectly, how much more so if you take directly, if you take business away from someone. Now the Gemara brings that you must always be careful of not harming a person's business. Because if you harm a person's business, you're a mazik. You are causing a loss to another person. And there are many different facets how this is dealt with in the Shas. Through unfair practices of competition, through unscrupulous ways of doing business, which you cause other people to lose business. Or, for example, if you say something which will damage another person's professional reputation, and through this you will take business from him. These are very, very serious averas in the Torah. Very serious averas. And this all goes into the parsha of Nezikin of Momonos. When it comes to coexisting with other people, actually, the Gemara says, Gemara tells us, we all know the great mitzvah of Chesed. We'll come to that in a few minutes. And of Tzedakah. And the Gemara tells us there are many levels of tzedakah, of ways you can help someone. The highest level of tzedakah, which is a mitzvah zeh min haTorah, is the chazakto. A chazakto, that you shall, if you can strengthen someone's hand and help him in business, so he shouldn't fall and have to come onto tzedakah. For example, you can help set up someone in his business, or you can lend him some money, or you can send him some customers, or so forth and so on. This is the greatest form of tzedakah, of which the Rambam writes is a mitzvah essay, a positive commandment, which we have to be more careful than all other positive commandments. So we can see now how far a person is from that, if not only he doesn't help a person in his business, but takes business away from him. And again, we must be constantly cognizant. Many times we do things under the guise of mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Or many times we do what we think are mitzvahs, and while we do it, we are causing avedas that are 100 times worse than the mitzvahs we're doing. It says, "Havi mechashev schar mitzvah keneged hefser avedah," that you must always calculate the mitzvah you're doing and the avedah which you might do or you might not do. You always must calculate one against the other. Actually, Yisrael Salanter was very famous. Yisrael Salanter was the founder of what was then known as the Musar movement. He was a great gaon. He was from the Gdeli Hador, from the leaders of the entire generation. A great gaon. And he held in his time that people are learning and they're knowing Torah, but it's not going in. They know it academically, but they're not putting it to practice. And because of that, he started to undertake a whole movement where people should be living examples of Torah, more than mere academic examples of Torah. And he was very famous for teaching his Talmidim, for teaching his disciples, that the first principle when it comes to being a tzaddik, to be a righteous person, is that you have to do on your own time and on your own money. Not on someone else's time and not on someone else's money and not on someone else's back. You want to keep a high standard of kashrus? Very nice. But not at the cost of someone else. And he was always very, very careful. He writes, you want to get up early in the morning to come to shul to learn, or to come to shul to daven slichus, you should know that if while doing that you wake people up, it would have been better if you would have slept. Because the aveda is far greater than the mitzvah that you're doing. Shlomo Rabbi Avigdor Miller, I heard a tape from him, talks about in New York, people get up early in the morning for slichus, and they go and they fetch someone on the way and they hoot their horn and wake up people. They don't know, but had they slept the whole day, they would have been far better off, because they're mazikin. The Gemara tells us, "Hareitz lehavi chosid," do you want to be a righteous person, a very righteous person, you should be zeir bedin in nezikin. Be careful with the laws of nezikin. The Gemara tells us, "Kosha einshon shel midais, yese mi einshon shel arayis," that the punishment for false weights and measures is far greater than the punishment for incest and adultery. That's what the Gemara says. It's the Gemara in Baba Basra, Namaiches Asfina. Now there's two girsas, there's two texts as to why. One girsa is Shizeh Efshe B'tshuva V'zeh Efshe B'tshuva. Because for incest and adultery, the person could do tshuva, he could repent. For the midas, if he has false weights and measures, he can't repent. Why? Because we said before, the only way you can repent when you take something that belongs to someone else is by giving it back to him and doing tshuva, by false weights and measures. That you had a shop, who do you know what you took from people? How are you going to be able to give it back to them? So you'll never be able to do tshuva. That's one reason why. There's another text, and this is the Gius of the Rambam. Shezeh bein odem lechaveirei vezeh bein odem lamokum. Because when it comes to arayis, incest and adultery, this is an aveira between man and the Almighty. When it comes to midas, false weights and measures, this is an aveira bein odem lechaveira, between one person and another person. And that's yese chamura. That is more severe than bein odem lamokum, than between man and the Almighty. And this is what the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes this at the end of Hilchas Geneva. So therefore, to do mitzvahs like we quoted, get up early in the morning to go daven. These are wonderful mitzvahs, to go for slichus or to learn. These are wonderful mitzvahs. But if while doing it, you're going to be stepping on the rights of other people, then it would be far better had you not did it at all. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Zichreinu Berocha, was always very careful never to adhere to his own special standards if it was going to cause discomfort and hardship on others. This is the famous story with the matzahs. They went to make matzahs. They needed water for kneading the dough. And it's a mitzvah to use a lot of water. And when his Talmidim asked him, what kind of kavona, what should be our intents? What should we think about when we're fulfilling the wonderful mitzvah, the great mitzvah of baking matzahs before Pesach? See, he told him the intent should be is to use as little water as possible. They asked him, why? Because you're not drawing the water. There's a poor widow that makes her living by drawing the water. For you to use more water than the actual law requires, that's an avera. If you were drawing the water, so use as much as you want. But to impose that she has to run back and forth schlepping heavy buckets of water, that's a tremendous avera. It's said over on the Stipler Zichreinu Berocha, who was from the great Gaonim of our generation, who used to impose upon himself many, many chumras, many difficulties and hardships and stringencies when it came to fulfilling mitzvahs and himself. But not only he would never impose these on other people, never, but he would not even impose them on himself if he saw that it meant hardship for others. Said over on him that he used to, because he didn't want to impose extra hardships on his wife, on his Rebbetzin, he used to tell her to buy meat from the closest butcher shop. Even though there were other butcher shops that were more mahuder, that held higher standards of kashrus. But he would say, buy from the closest. And this was the derech of all of the gedalim that understood what was involved. There were others that were very careful that even if there were certain types of standards that they had where they wouldn't eat certain meats or certain foods, but if this, heaven forbid, should cast a reflection on someone's parnosa, they immediately ate. Many would say, if I don't eat, people will say this sheikhet is not kosher. And if there's a reflection that this sheikhet is not kosher, then he'll lose customers. And to lose customers, that's hayere l'sei panosis chavere. That's taking panosa away from another person. And that's a gefelech avera, a tremendous avera. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, and this is what was demanded from a Jew. Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Time es eishes re'ehu time. They bring a pasuk that says that they went and they caused the wives of their fellow man to become impure. Gemara says, what is this speaking about? Es eishes re'ehu time. This is referring to those who cause a loss of business to a fellow Jew. Because the parnoso, his livelihood, that's like a man's wife. This is what the Gemara says. I recall two incidents. One we mentioned here many times. There was one case, I just mentioned it again, in the yeshiva, that there was a widow and she had a job in charge of the kitchen, And some of the bochrim of the yeshiva felt that she wasn't quite up to scratch. The standard wasn't 100% like it should be for a yeshiva when it came to kashrus. So they came to complain to the Rosh Yeshiva, to my Rebbe of Gifter. He threw them out. He wouldn't listen to them. He says, with this you want to take Parnosa away from an almana, from a widow, and you want to involve me also. He wouldn't listen to them in the least. He wouldn't have anything to do with it. He says, you don't know what you're involving yourself in. In our parsha later on, it brings Ger Yosef B'almona Leishul Chotzeno, particular loving negative commandments when it comes to afflicting a widow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that if they'll cry to me, I will kill with a sword. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Now this all comes when people do not understand what Torah is. But there was another case I'm thinking of. There was a case where a person had a job. It was actually a job in the yeshiva. And others were coming, and because what they thought was mitzvah, they were trying to uproot him from his position and take the position away from him. So Rebbe Gifter was speaking to the Rav of that city, and he said, and I quote, he says, whoever does such a thing as a retzeach is a murderer. And the honors which they to buy and the others who stand by and let this be done are eched reitzchim, are also murderers. This is what he told the Rav of that city. And he was quoting Gemaras, because the Gemara brings that Bechal Retzicha. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers. So this is in regards to Shevis, the Parnos of a fellow man. Boshes is a chidush. Boshes is embarrassment. And from here we see something unique, because embarrassment is not really, could be classified as sara de gufa, is not really a physical pain. It's an emotional pain. And still, if you cause someone embarrassment, not only is it a tremendous avera, but you must pay for it. You can be brought to Besdin, to the courts, and paid. It can be assessed and you must pay. This is Bechal Nezikin that you have to pay. Then we come to Geneva, Gzeleva Geneva. Theft. We live in a world of theft. The world thrives on it. That's good business today. Not in the eyes of the Torah. Mara tells us, Agezel shove pruta me'oni kilu natal es nafshoi. If you steal one pruta, one coin from an oni, from a poor man, it's as if you are taking his life. Maybe this is what Rav Gifter had in mind when he said, as a retzeach, he's a murderer. This is how the Torah looks at this. Not in the type of society that we live in today. And there are punishments for it. And perhaps if these punishments would be enacted today in today's society, then law and order would be prevalent. Not like the liberals that say, a criminal, he needs rehabilitation. The law of the Torah, you steal, you're caught, you pay back twice. You steal a car, you pay back two cars. You steal a Mercedes, you pay back two Mercedes. That's the law. And if you steal a Mercedes and you don't have money to pay back two, then in our parsha it's written you can be sold as an eved. You can be sold as a slave for 6 years to pay the debt off. There was no fooling around in Torah society. The Torah's laws were very just. but they were more concerned about protecting the innocent than protecting the criminal. Not that man should live in a jungle where Ish, Esreyu, Chayim, Bola, where one swallows the other alive. There were times in the Torah, incidentally, it would prove to be not too much of a lucrative business today, all of the organized car theft, if the law was in practice. They would find out it would be a losing business, and I think it would fizzle out. There were times in the Torah where you could be fined dalet behei, 4 and 5 times the amount of what you stole. 4 and 5 times the amount, which are brought in this parasha. And you could not be sold as a slave for debts. If you borrowed money, you couldn't pay back, could not be sold as a slave. Fact is, you could never be sold as a slave for any type of debts, with the exception that if you stole, in other words, not with the calculation, I'll steal and I'll tell them I have no money and finished. Not only that, they'll rehabilitate me. Now, then, you could be sold to pay to work it off. The Gemara tells us, Leich al anamolo, Shleim HaMelech said, go to the ant and see how one should live together with his fellow man when it comes to theft. The Gemara says, what is he referring to? He's referring to an ant that when the ant comes across a speck of food and he smells it, and through his scent, doesn't take it, he runs from it. He will refuse to touch it if it's not his. This is the nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu imbued in the ant. And the Gemara says that we would learn from the ant how one should conduct himself when it comes to possessions of his fellow man. That the minute he realizes it's not his, he runs from it. Like you run from poison. Bechlau Gezel, included in Gezel, is taking anything from someone else that doesn't belong to you. Not only his money or his possessions, but anything. To give you an example of how far it goes, is the Gemara says that if you meet your friend in the street in the morning, and it's a person that you should have greeted with shalom, boker tov, you should have said hello to, or give him a broch of shalom, or say good morning, and you didn't, you're a gazlan, you're a ganef, you're stealing from him. Because he has something coming from you, it's his, and you didn't give it to him. This is how far Arhechan Advori Magim, how far it goes. The Gemara says, we quoted before, that what you must be very careful from is to take something from a person which you cannot repay. Because that's something that you cannot do tshuva on. And that's the Gemara. We quoted how severe that is. Because of this, you must be very careful never to cause an inconvenience to a person because you're stealing from him. For example, if you take time from a person, if you take his time from him, his man time is his. If you take it away, you're a gazlan. If you take sleep from someone, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say that if you wake up someone, not only are you a gazlan, but that's the worst rishus, the worst wickedness you can do. Because how are you going to repay him? How are you going to repay that man? How can you give him back? If at least you took money, you could give him back money. If you take a sleep from him, how can you give him back sleep? If you cause people impositions,
See, what we don't realize, we classify many of these things as ethics. This is not ethics. This is halacha. This is Jewish law. Nezikin. You cause a person an inconvenience, an imposition. You're stealing from him. You're stealing his time from him. You're stealing his relaxation from him. You're taking energies from him. And if you have no right to, you're a gazlan. You're a thief. Another category which is dealt with, till now we were speaking where you caused injury to people or property. We have what is known as mamana mazik. Not where you cause injury to people or not where you cause, but your property causes. And this, no, excuse me, before we come to that, there's another category, very important category. And again, people think this is ethics. It's not Jewish law. Till now we were speaking where you caused a physical damage to a person, or a monetary damage to a person. What happens if you cause an emotional damage? We had a certain aspect, boshus, embarrassment. But what happens if you cause an emotional damage? So people might say, well, that's nothing. You didn't physically hurt him. You didn't financially hurt him. It was just an emotional damage. This also are from the most serious averes of the Torah. For example, einos dvorim. If you insult a person or you say something to him which hurts, that's not considered ethics in the Torah. That's nezikin. It's damages. That's a mishnah in Bav Metzia. It's a mishnah which is in Bav Metzia, and it was put in Bav Metzia because these are the laws which deal with damages. And it's brought in the Rambam in Shulchan Aruch in the area of Mamonos. This is a leis aser. The Gemara tells us, "Kolan sheorim naolin chutz mi sharei eino," that when a person is hurt by someone else emotionally, and he prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always listen and bring retribution against that other person. There's Lashon Hara. The source of Lashon Hara, actually, the Gemara brings from Baba Basra. That's also in these laws, which in many aspects are considered equal to the worst avedas of the Torah. That when you slander someone, you are damaging his good name. You are damaging his reputation. Many times, as we mentioned, it goes into monetary damages. But even if it doesn't, you're damaging him. There's no difference between damaging him physically or damaging his reputation. You are a mazik, you are a damager. And this is very serious. We've given long shurim on this. Or like we mentioned in this parsha, that the Torah says you must be doubly careful with a ger, with a convert, or a yosem, an orphan, or an alman, or a widow. If you hurt them emotionally, or say Lashon Hara against them. So besides the fact that you have hurt another Jew, there's a double avera. We have another parsha in this Torah, in this parsha, when it comes to borrowing. Many intricate laws. Now we're all involved, because we live together with people, we're all involved in borrowing or using something that belongs to someone else. Either you borrow a shale, or you hire something, or you ask to keep something for someone else, to watch something. And these are what is known as the shemrim. And they carry responsibilities. If you take someone's article to use and you're negligent, you're held responsible. You must pay him for it. If you take someone's book to read, and you're negligent. You leave it in the sun where it becomes all dried up, or you leave it in a damp place where it becomes wet, or you rough on the pages and you tear them. There is no dispensation or heter. Why you're not responsible? You're responsible for all of this. If someone entrusts something to you, he says, watch this while I go away, and you're negligent in watching it, you're careless, you're responsible. We have entire parakim, all kind of chapters, which deal with all of these intricacies. Fact is, the Gemara brings Sheol Shlemidas. What happens if you borrow something without the other person's knowledge? All kind of halachas that have to do with this. Gemara says a person's talis or tefillin you can borrow without his knowledge, because we say that he wants that a mitzvah should be done with what he owns. But the Gemara says that's where you'll fold it up properly and put it back in its place very nicely. But what happens if you borrow someone's talis and you just leave it where it was? Leave it where it is. Or you fold it up carelessly. Then the Gemara says you're a ganav. You're a sheol shlemidas. Because you're taking something without permission, and in a set circumstances, the person certainly is makbid. He doesn't want to. Nobody wants that his talis should be taken and left in another place or just thrown in a corner. So you're a ganav. Gemara says a sheol shlemidas. And it's very questionable if you fulfill the mitzvah. It's probably a mitzvah abo be'aveda. Probably you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin or talis. Gemara says sforim is a whole shaila. If you could borrow sforim from someone that you know, if he told you go ahead anytime, all right. But you don't know him that well, and you go and you take his sefer. The Gemara says it's a whole shaila, a whole question, if you can borrow without him knowing it. Because people are not so anxious other people should be using their sforim, because many times the sefer can get torn. Now again, we don't have time to go into all of these shailas, but what we are trying to do is give you an idea of what is involved. Even on your own property, you must watch that it does not cause damage. Not only yourself. Today we have a situation where there are so many dogs around because of reasons of security. But at the same time, many times they're dangerous. Morris says you have no right. You have a right to protect yourself. But if you can't protect yourself at the cost of other people, you have no right having in your property something that's dangerous to the public. And you're responsible for it. If you want to have a dog on your property, and he's a dangerous dog, then he must be watched properly, where he cannot cause damage to someone else. You're not allowed to have anything on your property, the Gemara says, where people come in and go, or even if people do not come in and go, but for your own household, that is a hazard. And that the Gemara says, Leisosim domim beveisecho. If you have hazards on your property and someone gets hurt, Leisosim domim beveisecho, you have shed blood. The Gemara looks at you as a murderer. You light a fire on your property, you have to watch it constantly because you're held responsible for all the consequences and so forth. Then we have even other dinim that not only we are not allowed to damage, but where we have to care for other people's property. The parsha Vashovas Aveda. Atzolas Mamon Haveda. The Gemara says a Jew sees another Jew's property is in danger, is in hazard, you have to go and take care of it. And if you don't, you transgress a positive commandment and a negative commandment. Hoshev Teshivim, you must return it. Leisucha Leisalim, you cannot close your eyes from it. If he has a dog and is going astray, or a horse that's going astray, or you see that his property, he left something, he forgot something in a place where someone might take it, you're obligated to go and care for it. We're even obligated to not only to watch his money, but to help him. This is the mitzvah chesed. Stoker, to give him money. Isa ribis is brought. We're obligated to lend him money. And when we lend it, the Torah said we cannot take interest. Not allowed to take interest. A Jew is not allowed to take interest, even though you're not stealing anything from him. It's not theft. He gives it to you. It's an agreement. I'm not allowed to. All of these laws are all dealt with in the section of the Mishnah which is known as Nezikin, and in the section of the Shulchan Aruch which is known as Cheshen Mishpat. Now this is just a little window. We're only have the time to go into an aspect, but two points we want to bring out. Firstly, this is a part of Torah, a great part of Torah. Being a good Jew does not mean to keep some of the mitzvahs. Being a good Jew means to keep all of the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs bein odem lamokom, the mitzvahs which are between man and the Almighty, and the mitzvahs bein odem lachaveri, the mitzvahs between man and his fellow man. And a Jew must be cognizant of all of these responsibilities that he has, because he has to live together. He has to live together with a wife, with children, with parents, with a family, with neighbors, with a society. Nations must live together. And the Torah taught him how to live together and how to be responsible for every act of his, in order not to tread on what belongs to someone else, be it physically, monetarily, emotionally, psychologically. And therefore these mitzvahs are to be studied all of the time. And one shouldn't think that this is lighter than the other mitzvahs of the Yom Tovim, or even Shabbos, or Yom Kippur, or Tfilin, or Kashrus, and so forth. They're not lighter. At worst, they're equal. But there are many sources in the Chazal that are even more stronger. So that's one point that we should learn from here. A second point we should learn from here is what a society is supposed to look like, and how different the Torah society is from the society of today. This is the type of society that the Torah expects, not a society that we have today where a man eats his fellow man in business, in the streets, where you cannot walk out into the street after dark because someone will jump, theft or whatever else it will be. But everything is violence and theft. Novels, magazines, movies, television. And how nations coexist with each other. So here we see what the society is according to the structure of the Torah, and what society is in a world without Torah. And this is very important. The Jew shouldn't think he's insulated from this, because it all spills over. It spills over into Jewish communities. And that's why the Gemara tells us that we must be hafechba la hafechba, constantly learn and constantly go over and over into the depths of these mitzvahs. We should be zeicher to grow great. Like the Gemara says, Aretzi Yachim, you want to become wise in the Dvar Hashem, then Yasik b'dinei Momonos, learn this facet of the Torah. It will make us much wiser and much better people.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za, or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.